Well, good evening and Merry Christmas to you. We want to welcome you to the very first COVID-assisted Christmas Eve service here at Bay Presbyterian Church. Have no idea how to plan for something like this, and we're just pleased that you can make it here this evening. And I want to make a couple of recognitions here. Earlier today, it occurred to me that there are probably a half a million different things that could go wrong in a service like this. There's a lot of moving parts that we're not even aware of. And so I wanted to do a shout out to Carl Hamm, who's in the hospital. And Carl's probably watching us right now. Hi, Carl. And Carl's the guy who makes electronics go, and we feel like we're missing something when Carl's not here, but we want to greet Carl. He's in the hospital for a surgical procedure that he's still recovering, and will be back with us in the next hopefully in the next week or two. God bless you, Carl. We're looking forward to seeing you back with us again. We'd like to have you join us on Sunday morning for our Sunday morning worship this Sunday coming up. During the service today, this evening, we're going to have several readings. And for those of you who are reading, you can drop your masks for purpose of reading. Otherwise, we'll have to put you on oxygen afterwards. And I want to make a special shout out to some special friends from Bernie's. And here's the Bernie's crew right here, who takes care of us every week. And when we're through here today, we're going to bring you a bill, and the tip can go right on there. You can just add it right in. We recommend 18%, but do whatever you'd like. What do you think is appropriate? But we love you all. Thank you very much. I'd like to ask Mike and Linda Shields to come up, and they're going to help us tonight with our Advent lighting.
Tonight, the Advent season ends. We wait no longer. The great event for which we've waited has happened. God's promise of a Redeemer is fulfilled. Jesus Christ is born. Excuse me. We light the Christ candle with praise to our God, who brings joy to the world. Excuse me. I'm sorry. Reading from Titus 2:11 through 14. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good.
Now let's take a few minutes to prepare our hearts for worship. You'll find our call to worship this evening inside of your bulletin. It'll also be on the screens. And it's a responsive reading. It comes from the first chapter of the Gospel of John, having to do with Christ's incarnation. And you could just follow that along on right on the screens. We'll have it there for you. So if you would just read responsively. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. He came to his own home, and his own did not receive him. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Let us worship Almighty God. Would you pray with me? Our great God and Heavenly Father, we welcome you to our midst tonight, and we pray that this would be a time of great celebration as we think of the birth of our dear Savior. And so, God, we pray that you'd be with us and in us and among us, that the words of our heart and the meditation of our lips would be acceptable in your sight. Oh, God, our rock and redeemer. Hear us, oh, God. We make our prayer in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, he who lived and died and rose again, and who, while on this earth, taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Would you stand with me as we sing, O come, all ye faithful.
Joy, 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 joy Tonight's reading is from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after they had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name of Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave the name of Jesus.
Remain seated as we sing Emmanuel. Emmanuel, his name is called Emmanuel. Let's sing together.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel.
Would you stand, please, as we sing, "Angels We Have Heard on High"? Glory to God in the highest, glory in excelsis Deo.
Sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the
Thank you. Please be seated. You know, with this virus, the government gave us an opportunity to participate in what they call the PPP program, where we could have gotten compensated for our personnel. The leaders of this church said, no, we're not going to do that. Someone might need it more than us, and we're not going to take it. And we didn't make a big deal about it. We just didn't take it. We were approved for it, but refused to take it. But by the grace of God and by the generosity of this congregation, we made budget. And so thank the good Lord that we did wonderfully financially. We actually set a record. Now, I'm asking you not to cancel your checks if they're already in the mail. But we're not going to take an offering tonight either. So I'd like for you to just bow your head with me and thank the Lord for his provisions during the course of the year. Our great God and Heavenly Father, thank you for your provisions for us as a church. Thank you for caring for us and for allowing us to continue our ministry and for that ministry to reach into all the world. God, we are grateful to you for that. And God, our prayer is that we might be responsible with the resources that you have given us, and we pray that we would be blessed as a church, and that the blessing to this church would reach out to all parts of the earth. We ask that you would hear our prayer, because we make it in the name of our strong Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
1 through 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Would you stand to your feet, please, and let's sing Away in a Manger.
Did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know? Baby, that you kiss the face of God. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy was heaven's perfect lamb? This sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak the praises. Did you know that your baby boy was heaven's perfect lamb? The sleeping child you're holding is the great
Luke 2, verse 8 through 15. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about."
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Would you stand, please? Let's proclaim this.
And 20. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Who was that masked man? I told him Sunday that I was in favor of turning the text in the Bible that would have us on the road to Damascus. But we come this evening at a time of global pandemic, as we all are wondering where we are headed with COVID-19. I am praying that the day will come soon when we are rid of this plague and when we may again greet one another and shake hands and hug each other without fear of passing on some contagion. But in the meantime, I say to everyone here, Merry Christmas. It is wonderful to see you. And so here I am for the first time in my 53 plus years at a Christmas Eve service in air conditioning. A completely new experience for me. I woke up this morning and realized I wasn't in North Carolina anymore. But we gather together on this occasion because we have something, we have someone to celebrate. And it's wonderful to have every one of you here. Both those of you who are here on a regular basis and those who are with us perhaps for the first time, it's good to see you. Rosie, it is great to see you. And no, you don't have to leave a tip. But looking together once more into God's Word, as we've had so much wonderful scripture read this evening, I want to pick up where one reading left off in Matthew chapter 2, beginning with verse 7. Hear this portion of a reading from God's Word. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. And so we give praise and thanks to the Lord for his word. Indeed, we do. It's a long way to Bethlehem from here. In fact, Google tells me it's 6,678 miles from this very spot. Aeronautical miles at that. But you and I both know if we were to undertake such a journey, there's a lot more to it than mere distance. Such a journey would involve being screened by security at both ends. We would have to go through customs. And then because Bethlehem is now under the Palestinian Authority, we would have to go through at least one border checkpoint on our way to that location outside of Jerusalem. And so we realize that distances can't be measured in mere miles or feet. All of us are on a journey. We've undertaken it since the time that we were brought forth in our mother's wombs. All of us here at this point in our lives are simply at another point on our journey, but all of us are undertaking one. It's not a matter of whether you're in one. The question is, where are you headed? What is your destination? The wise men are a mystery to us. We really don't know who the Magi were. Now, a lot of people had offered ideas. I grew up, after all, singing a wonderful hymn. We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts we traverse afar. But then as I grew older and studied the Bible more, it bothered me that we didn't know that they were kings. And in fact, we don't even know that there were three of them. The original word, magoi, is in the plural in the Greek, and so all we can say with assurance is that there was more than one of them. Now, traditionally, we've said three because there were three different types of gifts, but we really don't know who they are. And point of fact, we don't know precisely where they came from. Now, the senior pastor and I here agree. Both of us have come together, and we agree that they came from the region of Persia, or later Babylon. And so that settles that, right? We're in agreement. We're two or more. So we're going to call up all the people who've edited those Bible dictionaries through the years and tell them to quit their work, and we decide. But the fact is, we really don't know. The Bible is very vague on that. We really don't know who they were. They bear this name, which tells us that they were wise men. Magi is the same word from which we get magic. They were known in their day to be astrologers. They studied the skies. And we don't really know the nature of the star. I know that's shocking in light of recent reporting, since we've had this interesting juncture of planets in the sky. And when Saturn and Jupiter got together, somebody actually zoomed in on it with their telescope and posted it on Facebook. It was actually the Star Wars Death Star that was up there. And they said that's in keeping with the year 2020, so Merry Christmas. But we really don't know. We know that that juncture happened three times in a certain year, which would have been around the time of the birth of the Lord Jesus. It has also been reported in Chinese history that at about that same time, there was a supernova that appeared in the sky for a period of some 70 days. And so lots of people have jumped on these notions. Other people have said, no, no, it was a comet. Well, all of that sounds very good until you read in the scripture text where when the wise men left Jerusalem and journeyed all of the 3 to 5 miles to Bethlehem, the star went before them and stopped over the place where the child was. That doesn't sound like Jupiter and Saturn to me, and it doesn't sound like a comet. We don't really know what the star was, but those of us who believe, who know the power of God, know that it was perfectly within his purview to create a miraculous event that guided those wise men to that place. But how did they know? How did they know that that star belonged to the King of the Jews? How did they know it was his star? Volumes have been written about that too. Lots of people who have looked into the zodiac signs and have talked about the location of the probable star, and that would have been an indicator to them. I'm not prepared to tell you why they knew. What I can say is this, is that these mysterious men who appear out of the pages of Scripture from nowhere and disappear just as quickly into oblivion, somehow, some way, by the little light that they had, followed it to its destination. And those who brought treasure found the greatest treasure that the world has ever known. And so I want to say to you here this evening, but it's probably not possible for you at this point, given the late hour of the evening and the status of your passport, to be able to board a plane and land in Bethlehem before midnight. In fact, it is not possible given the time difference. But I can tell you this, that even though it's impossible to replicate the journey of the wise men, not knowing exactly what it was, though they probably traveled hundreds of miles across desert sand, it is entirely within the realm of possibility for you on your journey to find yourself at the greatest of all destinations, at the point in place where you too would worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And then when we think of the Lord Jesus, and when we think of the journey that was undertaken by these wise men of old, and when we think about the fact that they, with the little light that they had, followed it to its point of destination, there were others who had much more information who failed to follow up. We read the Christmas stories and we see the ones who get Christmas, the wise men. We read about the shepherds. Shepherds? Those who were at the lowest point on the social totem pole, Who did they think they were to show up at the manger that held the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Well, they went there because God revealed himself to them. The angel of the Lord appeared to them when they were out in the field by night, keeping watch over their flock by night. What's extraordinary about that? Not a thing in the world. I'll put it in the Patrick Womack vernacular edition. They were out minding their own business. That's what they were doing. They were doing what shepherds were supposed to be doing. There wasn't anything extraordinary at all. It was another boring night on that hillside. Until suddenly the angel of the Lord appeared, and round about them shone the glory of the Lord. And what appeared round about them began to dawn in their hearts as they came face to face with this heavenly being who announced to them the greatest news that the world will ever know. You know, I grew up in a time when you used to get this thing on TV every once in a while. Some of you will remember this. We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin. You know, people wouldn't care now. We've got 24-hour news. Well, they call it news. People on the TV talking. Had a witness. This is a Presbyterian church, and somebody said amen. Where was that? You know, we interrupt this broadcast, bring you a special news bulletin. I mean, we would listen closely, and people remember where they were when they heard things like that. My grandfather knew exactly where he was when he got news that Pearl Harbor had been bombed. Others remember exactly where they were when they heard that President Kennedy was shot in Dallas. Things are seared into our minds. I remember when planes slammed into the World Trade Center. I was in the bowels of a hospital surgical waiting area as a couple, a wife was donating a kidney to her husband, and they'd already taken her back and had removed the kidney. They were prepping him for surgery. He was getting ready to go back. I'd been back there with them for hours, and a nurse came in, and I said, "Hey, is anything going on out in the world?" She said, "Something has happened in New York." Boy, what an understatement. I had no idea until I walked out of there an hour later. Saw what was unfolding before our national eyes. People remember where they were when news was announced. Don't you know that these shepherds remembered? Don't you know when the historian Luke either talked to them or someone who talked to them to get the information about what happened on that night? It was seared in their memory, and somebody said, "Hey, let me tell you what happened. We were out in the field keeping watch over our flocks by night when suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared to us, and the glory of the Lord shone round about us. And boy, were we ever afraid." But the news came. God revealed the truth to them. The wise men somehow understood it. But Herod, the one who would be king, refused to acknowledge the one who actually was the king. And unfortunately, he's more like us than we're willing to admit. For this one who would be king did not want to give up the throne for another. And so every one of us, in the course of our lives, simply do not want to give up the throne room to allow another to occupy it. And we miss Christmas. The religious ones missed it. Oh, they were able to report where Jesus was going to be born. But they didn't join the wise men on the journey just a few miles south to Bethlehem. They could have gone. There could have at least been enough curiosity to say, "Hey, there might be something to this." But they too were unwilling to relinquish the throne room of their hearts. And they too missed Christmas. Think about the ones who got it and the ones who didn't. But when we think about the journey, we must ultimately consider that it wasn't the shepherds making the journey of a short distance or the wise men making the journey of many hundreds of miles. The journey is all about what the Lord Jesus Christ undertook for our sakes. For he is the one who ventured from heaven's throne room to the humiliating place of being put in a feeding trough and wrapped in swaddling cloths. He is the one who experienced the ignominious birth of someone who didn't matter. And throughout the course of his life, even though he would do extraordinary things in the course of his ministry, yet he was discounted by people who despised him and who opposed him and hated him so much they wouldn't rest until they had put him to death on the cross. And the Lord Jesus Christ submitted to it, and even to the point of being placed in a grave. So the great journey that we have to consider on this Christmas Eve is not that of the wise men. It's not that of the shepherds. It's the journey of the Son of God who came from heaven's throne room all the way to the cross of Calvary and a grave not far from it. But oh, brothers and sisters, don't we know that he made that journey successfully? Having done everything that was his to do, he achieved and accomplished it without flaw. And having completed that glorious journey, he rose from the grave, demonstrating his victory over sin and Satan and death and hell itself. And he has ascended to the highest throne that glory will ever know. Don't you get it? The journey was his to make. And because he made that journey, you don't have to travel to Bethlehem. He'll come to you. When, by his grace, we acknowledge our own need, when we realize the guilt is his, not ours, and turning from that sin and receiving this greatest gift that God has ever offered, the Lord Jesus Christ promises to enter in. It is a story too wondrous for me to tell. And if I had all night to do it, I couldn't, and I don't. His was a journey no one else could undertake. Only God in human form, incarnate deity, could successfully complete the mission that was uniquely his. Born of a virgin, he lived a sinless life, endured the cross, despising the shame, and triumphed over all that could ever separate us from God. Christmas is a celebration of the arrival of the one who made the ultimate journey. He closed the distance forever and remove the barrier that separated us from God. Yes, it's a long way to Bethlehem, but tonight you don't have to travel there. The Lord Jesus Christ will come to you, that you may behold him in his glory and proclaim with the shepherds, "There is born for us this day in the city of David a Savior, and he is Christ the Lord." He's Christ my Lord. I trust and pray he is your Lord. One other word, then I got to quit. We say Merry Christmas, don't we? That's an expression that's come down to us. Why don't we say Happy Christmas? I don't know. I tried digging today and I couldn't really find out. But what I did discover is this. Is that the word Merry comes from an old Anglo-Saxon word which literally means valiant, illustrious, great, or gallant. Did you know that? I really felt like I learned something when I read that today. Thus, to be merry is not merely to be mirthful, but to be mighty. For example, in Shakespeare, we read of fiercely courageous soldiers who were called merry men. Strong winds are called merry gales. Fine days are marked by merry weather. So when we say Merry Christmas, we're literally exhorting one another to take heart and stand fast. The Christian is to engage in spiritual merriment as he thinks about the fact that through redemption, he becomes a child of God's family. The Bible teaches that the angels made merry at Christ's birth. And so to all of you I say on this night, with all that I have come to understand in the course of my life, to know that in that manger lay the greatest of all treasures. Merry Christmas, and may God bless you, everyone.
One of the greatest traditions is singing Silent Night, Holy Night. We'll end our service this Christmas, 2020, with Silent Night, Holy Night. Would you stand, please?
And now may the Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you. And may the Lord lift up unto you his countenance and give you his peace, both now and forevermore. And everyone said together, amen. God bless you, and Merry Christmas indeed.